You're listening to The Last Pew on Catholic Radio Indy 89.1 and 90.9 FM with Scott Williams, underwritten by Dant Insurance. LastPewRadio.com.
Yeah.
That's what that needed.
My man, Otis.
Welcome to the show. This is The Last Pew. My name is Scott Williams. Joining me today, we've got Robert Newport.
Hello.
Emily Hitchens.
Oh, happy day.
And Megan Garrick.
What's up?
All right. Exciting. You know why I'm so excited? Do you?
Tell me.
Oh, my gosh.
Christmas.
Santa's Christmas is coming.
I actually have a peppermint in my mouth.
Oh, there it is.
Oh, yeah, please. Right just there. Right there in the microphone.
I'm finishing it up.
Everyone in their car is currently puking because of that sound.
Even advertising,
no.
You can hear it.
It's not that bad. I'm done. Carry on. Christmas. That's Christmas stuff.
That's right? Christmas. You can chew peppermints into the microphone. Yeah, no big deal.
Festive.
Festive. Oh, my gosh.
I can only imagine what you were like as a small child, Scott. Being excited for Christmas.
That's true.
Oh, my gosh. I couldn't. I got so excited every year, I would get sick. Like, literally ill. I was so excited about Santa coming. I was so excited about everything that you could ever imagine that I literally got to the point where I was puking.
That's pretty much
Christmas
what
Eve.
I imagined.
And I was out. I was out of the race. I was done. And I would just, like, I'd miss several Christmas gatherings with my family because I got so... Same thing about Disney World, whatever it might be. Like, I just...
You're, like, sabotaging yourself.
Yeah. Let myself down.
I camped out one night. I thought I was going to catch Santa in the act. And I was probably, like, 12 years old at this point. But I was like, I'm going to get him this year. So I hid behind a piece of furniture, a coffee table, in the family room where the chimney was. And I'm going to get them.
Yep.
Did you put out the bait, the cookies in the middle of the bait?
Of course. We did that every year.
You have to do the carrots. I would put out carrots for the reindeer. Because, you know, they're the ones doing all the work.
They're really working hard.
Yeah,
they're pulling Santa around.
I put reindeer food
in my yard.
Don't
you want to know what happened?
Yeah, please. You fell asleep.
Gosh. Well, yeah, that is what happened. I fell asleep. And I never knew. I never knew if it came or not. If it was really him, I didn't know. Because I got tired and went to bed.
But presents came.
Presents still
there
came.
There were presents.
From Santa.
Yeah. Well, I assume. Yeah.
Well, what about the elf on the shelf?
We didn't do an elf on the shelf.
Oh, we didn't either.
I think that's a relatively new thing, right? That's not like a... See, we had a mouse. We had this mouse.
Oh, so you had a mouse in the tree or something?
Yeah, where was the
mouse? Let me finish.
Okay.
So we had a calendar for the month of December that the mouse would move... from day to day, how many days counted down to Christmas, right? So if you were good, the mouse would bring you something. And it would be like in the back of the little mouse pouch. If you were bad...
That's disgusting sounding.
Like,
there's like a little slot where you put the mouse into the calendar.
Oh, okay.
Gotcha.
Not inside some sort of orifice of the mouse. If that's where your mind went, Emily, I'm
then I was right there with you.
I thought it was some sort of marsupial mouse.
I did too.
No.
I was picturing a kangaroo.
It's a cute, adorable mouse.
A kangaroo mouse.
Calm down about the mouse.
A mouse-a-roo.
I like that.
Oh my gosh. But anyways, if you were bad, like, you know, if you were bad, then he didn't bring anything. So my parents.
How many times did the mouse-a-roo not bring you anything?
Oh, he always brought something. I was a really good kid.
He was pretty lax.
I was always
except Christmas Eve when you're getting sick. He's like, "You need to chill out, Scott. I'm not bringing you anything today."
He put Tums. Cool your
jets.
The mouse
cool your jets, kid. We want you here tomorrow.
That's too funny.
What about you guys? I mean, what were you like as kids growing up, waiting for? We heard about Robert and him waiting all night.
I'm gonna get you,
Santa. I would get so I couldn't sleep. Like, I would just lay there. It felt like just waiting for it to be morning, like the longest night.
And if you're not sleeping, then Santa doesn't come.
Right, exactly.
And then you freak yourself out because you're not sleeping.
You get stressed out because you're not sleeping, and then you really can't sleep because all you're thinking about
the
is
things we do to our children. Sleep.
Yeah. I was the same way. I would be like, oh, it's tomorrow. I have to go to sleep, but I can't go to sleep
right.
all night long. And then eventually, I think I just worked myself yeah. into a tizzy of sleeping.
Yeah, I did the same thing like in college, like a big test or, you know, things that you really important. Just
Yeah, that's true.
But now really just, I mean, think about, you know, Saint Nicholas. He's the real spirit of Christmas. He's the spirit of giving. And I know this weekend the Chris Kindle Village is going on, and I believe St. Yeah. Nicholas is going to make an appearance.
Chris Kindle.
Oh, Christ.
Chris Kindle.
Why does he have a Zorro accent?
It is Christ Child in German, as we all know. Did you
Christ
guys know that?
Chris Kindle.
I did.
Christ Child Street?
No, just Christ Child, I think. Oh. Christ Child Street?
Georgia Street.
That would be... Strassen, Chris Kindle Strassen would be Christchild Street.
Did you guys hear that they had their own beer made, their own?
Yeah, so St. John's downtown made, Indianapolis, yeah,
Chris Kindle,
at the Ram, right? So the Ram, it's their next door neighbor. They brewed their own beer, and they had this, cool. beer naming ceremony deal. But anyways, Chris St. Nicholas is going to make an appearance at the Georgia Street, which is exciting. So not the typical Santa Claus that you would go see at the mall or, I don't know, wherever the fine Santas are located.
Yeah. But local Santa yeah. establishment.
But, you know, the bishop, Saint Nicholas, who gave to the poor, Robert's frantically Googling it.
Yeah, got some interesting stuff on Saint Nicholas here. Did you know he was a signer of the Nicene Creed in 325.
Well,
you know, that makes him a little more real, doesn't it? St. Nicholas.
Yowza.
And as we discussed.
Two creeds?
Two St. Nicholases.
That would be St. Nicolai.
Yes,
plural.
I'm sorry, yes.
Nicolai Kalibulin.
I don't know. I don't know about that.
Also a goalie, I believe.
Well, the famous St. Nicholas is the one we all know. Of course, signer of the Nicene Creed is the famous one.
Like, yeah. He was the only one, or was it kind of like the Declaration of Independence where there is...
Lots of people.
Lots of people that signed it.
It was. The Council of Nicaea in 325 was kind of an important formative council for the working out the details of the faith when there was a lot of heresy.
Which we recite at every Sunday right. Mass.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, they worked out. I think they dismissed the Arian controversy back then.
Yeah. Tricky.
Which was challenging the divinity of Christ, I believe.
How could Christ be fully human and fully divine?
Mm-hmm.
Yes, the hypostatic union.
Yep. Nailed it.
This is taking me back to college and giving me like really, really terrible flashbacks of finals week.
Oh, sorry. Yeah, sorry to do that.
St. Nicholas. What
didn't
about St. Nicholas?
But St. Nicholas, yeah. So some of the things he would do, I believe he would go around... purchasing is maybe not the right word, but he would take care of the dowries.
Supplying?
So, yes, he would.
What is
a
dowry?
Dowry being the price a father has to pay for his daughter. It's like today it would be like the father paying the caterer for a wedding, right? That would be like the dowry today,
which is
10 million times more than the price it would have been back then, right?
It's like the money or the chickens or whatever you get along with your new wife.
Here you go. You get a couple
caterers
goats.
Were much, much more easy to deal with back in the day.
Yeah. You just give somebody a cow and that's all you got to worry about.
I'll do that any day. Trying to find a caterer.
These fathers that couldn't pay the dowry for these weddings, St. Nicholas, as legend has it, would go around and I guess he was a farmer, maybe, because he had a lot of cows to give to take care of these dowries.
I guess that would make sense.
Well, he would generously, he would do it secretively, you know, like mm-hmm, he would put these gold coins or whatever valuables.
In a sock?
In a sock on the doorknob or something.
So when I see St. Nick at Chris Kindle, I mean, Santa, you're supposed to go sit on his lap and tell him what you wanted for Christmas. Mm-hmm. What's the protocol
tradition
with St. Nick?
I'm getting married and I need money for my dowry.
Yes, Scott, you and Elizabeth.
And he'll give you a cow. And they have
maybe a little work.
He'll give you a donkey or a camel because they will have a live nativity at the Chris Kindle Village.
Oh, yeah.
There you have it. If you're just joining us today, you probably have no idea what's going on. But talking about to St. Nicholas and the spirit of Christmas, we're all excited about it. I'm about ready to make myself sick, but we got to take a quick break, and we'll be right back after this.
Hi, this is Chris Dant with the Dant Insurance Company. Dant Insurance is proud to sponsor and underwrite Catholic Radio's newest show, The Last Pew, with Scott Williams. Dant Insurance will back you with 33 years of experience with multi-line insurance programs. We offer auto, home, life, health, and business insurance products. If you'd like to discuss your insurance needs with me, I can be reached at 317-783-3303. Again, that's 783-3303.
For 2,000 years, we've helped the poor and comforted the sick. We've educated generations of children, developed the scientific method and college system. We support marriage and human life. Guided by the Holy Spirit, we compiled the Bible. We are the Catholic Church, with over 1 billion in our family, sharing in the fullness of Christian faith in the church started by Jesus. If you've been away, visit CatholicsComeHome.org today. Welcome home.
You're listening to The Last Pew on Catholic Radio Indy, 89.1 and 90.9 FM, with Scott Williams, LastPewRadio.com.
Jingle bells, Batman smells, Robin laid an egg.
Batmobile lost a wheel and Joker got away.
Hey! All right, welcome back to the show. This is The Last Pew. My name is Scott Williams. Joining me today, we've got Robert Newport.
Hey there.
Emily Hitchens.
Hi.
And Megan Garrett.
Hello.
We're excited about Christmas.
I am.
Silver bells. Go on. I'm just going to provide background music.
Sure, please.
Soon it will be Christmas.
I feel like now I'm walking through Walmart.
Yeah. So.
Ding-a-ling. Oh, I think I need some cheese.
What I do want to talk about real quick, though, is how much and how disappointing Christmas has become commercialized and how. That's what really makes me sick.
Yeah.
And the fact that we go through all this trouble and we really forget about the true, the beautiful, the meaning of Christmas.
Right.
But it's kind of a double-edged sword. So on one hand, yeah, I'm ticked about it because, you know, people aren't doing it for the right reasons. People are just going this. But on the other hand, man, how awesome is it that the world kind of stops and puts their focus on the birth of Christ for a moment, even if they don't just like actually realize the true meaning. They're getting into the spirit of giving. People are getting in the spirit of being with family.
Sort of like a covert way to draw them in, to focus on
Do you
Christ.
Ever drive around town on Christmas Day? I was driving to Terre Haute last year, and the world really does stop. There was,
I love it
was, this was, I think it was about noon on Christmas Day last year, and I was driving through downtown Indianapolis. There was not a soul on the street. Not a car on the road.
Yeah.
You know, right in the middle of the day. It was during the week. And it's like, wow, this is almost eerie. It's like a ghost town.
Yeah. Tumbleweed.
And it was so cool. Yeah, right?
Through.
Yeah, but the beautiful thing about that is everybody's home with their family.
Yeah.
And I really wish that's how every Sunday was.
Mm. Yeah.
I wish every Sunday was like Christmas Day, that nothing was open. Everybody was like Chick-fil-A.
And that's how it used to be.
And that's exactly how it used to be. And then people weren't killing each other so much.
And what you have to respect about Christmas, even though it has been like commercialized and all that, what is cool is regardless of the reasons these people, if it's Santa Claus or Jesus Christ, regardless of the reasons these people are together for that one day, mm-hmm. they are all together and they are a family and they are honoring that day with each other. So it's something Christ would appreciate, whether or not they have a picture of the Sacred Heart hanging above their mantle or not. You know, it is something that is Christ-like.
Right.
Whether they know it's Christ-like or not.
Where's your Advent wreath, huh? Where's
it
at?
Out the window. Advent's
Where's
over.
The manger? Oh. And did you put the straws in there for doing something kind for each other? And did you wait to put Jesus in the manger on Christmas Day?
Hey,
did
it's still Advent. What's your Jesus doing in your manger?
Oh, man. Don't get me started on that. My dream is to have a nativity where the Jesus is not cemented to the manger.
Oh, that's all you got?
That's all I got right now. Yeah.
Yeah, me too.
But I'm still young. Someday.
Don't give up on that dream, Emily.
I'm amazed we still have our Jesus at the Knights of Columbus. Like, we have the manger.
Oh, like outside?
And we have the Jesus. No, on the little nativity set.
Oh. Hmm.
Our nativity outside blew over. I need to put more stakes in the ground, apparently.
I thought you were going to say, like, people kept stealing the Jesus out of the nativity outside or something.
You know, people have not vandalized it. It's just been the wind. You know, and people, I've had people over and they're like, oh, that's messed up, man. Are people, like, messing with your nativity? I'm like, no. I just haven't fixed it yet. It's just it blew over.
See, I think that I could probably make a little bit of a profit on selling just the Jesus. Because I guarantee
just
you,
Jesus. Replacement parts.
Replacement Jesus, because I guarantee you, people have misplaced their Jesus over the year. Because you don't put it in there, and then you put it somewhere else, and you get the entire set out, and then you put the Jesus somewhere, and you don't find it. I mean, it's kind of like Easter. Like, the Easter eggs are hidden all around the house, and then you forget.
You find one later.
The next year.
But at least you've got, like, and 25 of those, and they're all pretty much the same. You don't want to lose the Jesus.
So my grandma, the day after Thanksgiving, was very concerned because she could not find baby Jesus. And she was like, all I have is the manger, and I don't know where I put baby Jesus.
And what good are these three donkeys going to do with only two wise men?
Exactly.
With both missing their arms.
But she found baby Jesus, so no worries.
Oh, my.
Thank goodness.
So, I mean, speaking of bringing Jesus to people, how do we do that in a real sense in the Christmas season when people are gathering at company Christmas parties, when people gather for the sake of getting together? How do we, without wrapping up a catechism for each of your employees? How do we bring this the season of giving, the season of love, the season of Christmas to people?
Tell a story. I think Christmas, like you said, it has been so commercialized. We hear these catchphrases all the time, and they just lose their meaning. Like, Jesus is coming. Right, right, right. People say that every Christmas. That's what's happening, right?
Who said that?
The Messiah is coming, and the one we've been waiting for. Back then, you tell the stories, you know, like, and you. I think you make it relatable. Like, these three wise men, these very wealthy men, were possessed with really no intense history of faith before. They were possessed to follow this random star in the sky independently. And arrive upon this manger. I mean, let's think about that. That's pretty wild. Mm-hmm. It's pretty incredible. So it's like you tell the stories, the Christmas stories, and I feel like you have to make them relatable to, I don't know, today's circumstances. Like, can you imagine that, you know? And because, yeah, the catchphrases they just become, people could become numb to them, I think.
Right.
Tell the stories. Get into the stories of Christmas.
What's your favorite? I mean, talking about, like, Jesus being born in a manger kind of story?
Not only those stories, but you know, your own Christmas stories.
Okay, yeah.
You know, the spirit of Christmas and the spirit of selflessness and giving and share those stories, too. And that's what it's all about, right?
Yes. Yes, that is what it's all about.
I really like the whole Christmas card thing. Like, just that it kind of gives us an opportunity. And I know a lot of people that, you know, don't celebrate Christmas, but still do, like, cards at this time of year. Just, it's a way for us to all kind of stop and think, who are the people in my life that I want to reach out to? I want to remind mm-hmm. them that I'm glad that they're in my life.
All those ex-boyfriends.
Mm-hmm. All, yeah.
Yeah.
Yep.
It's a good time. never mind.
Yeah. Your ex-boyfriends?
Yeah.
Oh, goodness gracious.
You guys don't do that? It's not a time for that.
That was weird. No.
All right. To rekindle lust.
Okay.
That's not.
Maybe I should post office. So stop. Hey, they're still lying around and processing somewhere.
Can I get those back?
So you write Christmas cards, Emily. Like, you have a list of people that you send Christmas cards to?
I do. And I decided a couple of years ago, because for a while it was, like, stressful. Like, you gotta get them out before Christmas. I don't send mine out until after Christmas Day now.
Oh.
Because that's when the Christmas season starts. And I
like that.
that
people need to be reminded of that.
Yeah. I think of it less as a deadline now and more as like, okay, I have this season of time to do Christmassy things.
So do you hand write a card to each person, or do you have like a Christmas card that you mail?
I'm a hand, like a card, like get a Christmas card and then like write a note in it.
Personalized note.
Oh yeah.
So it's not like a reflection of the year.
No. But I could totally see myself doing that someday. I have one friend who her Christmas letter every year is written in rhyme.
I really want to talk about this, but we're
that friend.
That's awesome.
Oh, shoot.
We need to take a quick break. We'll be right back after this.
Hi, this is Chris Dant with the Dant Insurance Company. Dant Insurance is proud to sponsor and underwrite Catholic Radio's newest show, The Last Pew with Scott Williams. Dant Insurance will back you with 33 years of experience with multi-line insurance programs. We offer auto, home, life, health, and business insurance products. If you'd like to discuss your insurance needs with me, I can be reached at 317-783-3303. Again, that's 783-3303.
The Last Pew is underwritten in part by the We Believers Toy Company, makers of innovative gifts and toys helping children grow in virtue, build character, and energize their passion for God, all while having fun. Best known for their innovative Lil Prayer Buddy praying plush, including the award-winning Louis the Lamb that recites the Our Father, Hail Mary, and Glory Be with the push of a button. We Believers toys are available at the Celtic Cross, the Village Dove, and other local stores, and online at WeBelievers.com.
You're listening to The Last Pew with Scott Williams on Catholic Radio Indy, 89.1 and 90.9 FM.
Hey, welcome back to the show. So we were just talking about writing Christmas cards, and I think this is just a fascinating topic because I'll get to that in a minute, but I want to hear about, Emily was just talking about a rhyming Christmas card.
Yeah,
go on.
So this is a friend of mine from college, and she actually did her like thesis work on Dr. Seuss, like, who, you
what?
Know, the children's author who wrote everything in kind of whimsical rhyme.
Thesis work?
Yeah.
It was, Dr. Did she Seuss? Study?
She was an education major, so like using Dr. Seuss in the classroom, that kind of thing.
Was this Dr. Seussical University?
No, it was Ball State University, our alma mater. Anyways, it was really cool. But then, so she, after that, she just kind of like got in the spirit of like, using rhyme.
Well, I guess he is a doctor. I mean, it's academically
right,
legit.
Right, exactly. Yeah. Okay. So every year I'm just like, I feel like it's got to be stressful for her because like, she has to keep topping it. You know, like you can't. She's like, oh boy, I have to write it in rhyme. But there's always, it's fantastic. She just gets it done every year.
Wow.
That's impressive. So. You know, I'm a big efficiency nerd. Like, I try to get things. I like to try to get the most accomplished in the short amount of time.
Why do you
time.
Have two thermoses? That well, seems inefficient.
Okay, because so I have two different things right here. One, this is a canteen. This is coffee. So this is water.
What do you have in the canteen?
This is water, and this is coffee. Two things that I need to nourish my body.
Double fist in this.
Other morning. People might disagree with that statement.
If you're really efficient, you'd have a straw and a straw, and they'd both be in your mouth.
Like a beer helmet.
Yeah.
Oh my gosh. I don't write Christmas cards. That's my way of being efficient. This Christmas season is I don't do it. Like I write some to
and
the
efficiency are not the same thing
to people in the office. Hey, I've never gotten a Christmas card from you, Robert. But now there's this machine that will write a card for you.
What is this machine?
It's called Bond. Like it's literally a robot.
It plugs in your brain.
That
it
has
uses
a
personal experiences.
That
to
has
write
a
card.
Like fountain pen. It's a robot that has a fountain pen, so it has like an X and Y axis, and it'll literally.
My jaw is open.
It'll write.
Is that a voice recognition?
And then it knows your signature, so you can type your signature.
Oh,
you
I don't
can
know
sign
how
your,
I feel about that.
Your
I could be
your
signing off
on
all sorts
a,
of things if that thing gets out of control.
It's signed before every signature. It the salutation is I never learned to love.
Well,
what is happening?
I don't
right
know
now?
What just happened.
It's a robot.
It's a robot. Christmas robot. I never learned to love.
But for those of you who are listening right now and you wonder if you're having a stroke or if we're just going really weirdly on a direction, that's what's happening. No, you're not having a stroke.
That's just Robert Newport, ladies and gentlemen.
Robot. Humans.
It'll write a card for you.
So do you own one of these?
No. So it's a machine like in New York you send what you want it to write. And then it'll put it in this nice stationery, put it in the envelope, stamp it, and mail it.
I thought this was going to be like an as seen on TV, like, no, get your card writer today.
I want to own one.
Yeah, like, I bet you do.
Because,
dude, so I will write a card.
They have an app that you can, like, say you have a business meeting and you want to write a quick thank you note. So that's like their commercial is you can write a thank you note handwritten via the app on the elevator on your way out of the building. I think that's fascinating. But one, is it lazy? Yeah, it's lazy.
Yeah.
Let's not joke around there. But it does. It's a fascinating way to put a personal touch on something that is a lost art. So people just don't write cards anymore. I think Christmas cards are kind of drifting away. Cards in general, thank you notes, don't happen as much as they ought
it's
to
true,
anymore.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
this is a way to one take kind of like the technology, the things of the 21st century, and bring it into. Bring it back to something that is a foundation that has been a lost art for a long time. And I like that.
That's a stretch.
I do, yeah.
It's laziness.
Well, for me, the hard part is coming up with what to say sometimes and making it sound good. Like, the writing part isn't what, like, fatigues me.
See, that's what
it's like. Yeah, that's the tough part. It's like,
because I cannot.
I haven't talked to Uncle Sam in 12 years, and what do I say to him? I'm just not going to write a card.
I would I would imagine myself having like a form that would fit basically anybody, any human possible, and then adding personal touches along the way.
It's like an ad lib. It's like an ad lib Christmas card. name, insert verb.
For my parents this year, there's these books that you can get called Dear Mom and Dear Dad, and it has like 85 journal prompts that you have to write. So it says like, what is your favorite holiday memory, what punishment do you remember the most, like things like that. And so I'm having to write the answers to all of these because that's what their Christmas gifts are. I'm telling you.
Oh, it's a book that you give them, like a collection of your memories.
Yes,
hopefully good one.
They're pretty funny, actually. They're pretty good.
Wow.
That is a sweet idea.
But so I think I'm going to forego Christmas cards because I think my hand's going to fall off after both of them.
just pray for those people.
That's true.
So we're coming up on the end of the show, but real quick, I want to say happy birthday to Pope Francis. His birthday was this week, 79 years old. Mm. What up, Pope? Congratulations on that.
Happy birthday.
Thanks, Maude.
Waiting to see if anybody else was going to jump in that before I did.
Happy birthday.
And then
thanks.
When did the Golden Girls get here?
Thanks, Gertrude.
They always
Church
come
lady.
With me.
And then the second thing, Mother Teresa is going to be canonized a saint.
Whoop, whoop.
In what, September?
Yep, I think did that's I what that? I read.
About time.
I agree.
You know what's so funny is like, is there, you know, these saints that used to take hundreds and thousands of years or whatever to be canonized a saint. These popes these days, they just whip them out.
Pope Francis becomes the pope, and all of a sudden we're getting 50 saints this year.
Pope Francis is going to become a pope before he dies.
Like you.
Saint before he dies? Because he already is a pope.
Before he dies. Then a couple other things real quick. If you want to jump onto the Catholic Radio Indy website, it's www. Just Google it, Catholic Radio Indy. They've got a couple of great things on there. A 3-minute reflection, and then also anything and everything that you want to learn about the Door of Mercy, the Year of Mercy, and all that kind of good stuff. Right there, CatholicRadioIndy.com or Google it, like I said. Thanks for joining us on The Last Pew. My name is Scott Williams. On behalf of Robin, Megan, and Emily, Robert, I became like a girl show. I don't know what happened. Thanks for joining us. We hope that you have a wonderful, blessed, and Merry Christmas, and we'll catch you back
Merry Christmas,
here
everyone.
Next week on The Last
God bless us, everyone.